Thank you for joining Talking About You with Estra, where you can find information on auto insurance, employer and ERISA policies, short and long-term disability, personal injury claims, surveillance, and much, much more. This is your car accident radio channel. Talking About You with Estra's radio show welcomes you. Call the show today at 718-766-4385 with your questions, comments, or car accident experiences. I'm listening to what you have to say about your journey. And you never need to travel this path alone. You can read, watch, or listen with me at any time. Frankly, the quality of care and service with Social Security Disability can run the gamut of excellent to poor, in my opinion. As I've previously stated, it depends on the local office visited, the luck of the draw of whom you speak with when calling the 800 number, and the knowledge about the subject at hand. The Social Security Disability process typically can take up to 3 years to complete unless being reinstated. If other options such as auto insurance settlements, employer's short and long-term disability, or an individual long-term disability policy does the right thing by paying out the claims, most people involved in a collision get through the most difficult part of the car accident, the shock of the situation happening to them, and spends less time worrying about how to survive. Employer coverage can be converted to COBRA, which is an option to pay your own medical insurance through your employer rather than lose it at a time when it's needed most, or preferably selecting Obamacare instead, which is a less costly choice and more options from my perspective, and will help when disability looks probable and job loss inevitable. Social Security Disability, from my review, was not designed as a full support benefit for those becoming disabled. It was created to help supplement lost income for people who unexpectedly become disabled and help them to be able to live at a decent standard of living. Let me say that again. At a decent standard of living. It was supposed to be to supplement what people would be receiving from their jobs or some other source of income. Unfortunately, some private companies see this as an opportunity to take advantage of a federal program, prospectively speaking, when a private company is able to reduce the amount of a policy paid if approved for Social Security disability. It reduces their responsibility at the expense of those who are expecting full assistance, which is their policyholders. Most sick or injured are not in a financial position to absorb this unfair reduction, since paycheck to paycheck in conjunction with 30 years of wage stagnations make both financial ends meeting a struggle for most people. Are these actions taken in order to pay corporate investors more? Personally, I think the number of people who open auto insurance claims, results whether denied, paid, or terminated, should be available for public view from both public and private companies. In other words, the people who are requesting claims should be documented, and we as consumers should be able to see what these numbers are for these insurance companies. How many years is the average length of time for those who do eventually receive maybe none, a portion, or their full claims from these corporations? And more importantly, a measurement of the pain and suffering imposed on those waiting to receive their benefits. Information should be tracked on what poor and middle class were paid. I need to say that because, to me, this is really the bottom line of a lot of the processes. Information should be tracked on what poor and middle class were paid. Was it a substandard payment accepted to eliminate harassment and intimidation? How many policyholders just gave up due to lack of resources to fight these large corporations, or too sick or injured to follow through? Many disabled now in poverty, lives would be changed if insured civil rights legislation was taken up by Congress in order to put protections in place for those who are most vulnerable to bad faith practices by companies who use them in order to avoid paying out legitimate claims. When I say use them, I'm referring to Social Security Disability. From their perspective, if Social Security Disability denies your claim, then that legitimizes more their ability to do so. But frankly, this is kind of amazing since they believe that their own processes are different from Social Security, so they should not be similar at all. What we do know is that far too many sick, injured, or disabled people depend on Social Security disability as their sole source of income. And until auto insurance and employers do the right things by poor and middle-class policyholders who do not have the resources to fight for rightly requested benefits, this class of people will continue to look to the only public insurance agency where they can have at least a fighting chance of receiving benefits for which they have paid into for this purpose. Know your Social Security disability rights and where to find the answers next time you're asked a question, a request is made, or you need to verify information that you've received. Thank you for joining me for the Social Security Disability Series 1 from Seattle, Washington, USA, this February 10th to 15. Today's Talking About You with ESTRA's Social Security Disability Section 1 series includes the agenda of a short history about Social Security, building a basic understanding, in other words, a foundation for future information, an overview of Title II, the Primary Retirement and Disability Insurance Fund, an overview of Title 16, which is the Supplemental Retirement and Disability Program. The discussions throughout this series will be about the major contents in both Title II, which is where to look for disability insurance, and Title 16 for the disability benefits for people who don't qualify under the rules of Title II but meet disabled standards and low income requirements. Much of the information provided in this series is from the Social Security Administration's website or information. In fact, I've recently noticed more enhancements to their online site. Therefore, you may also want to take a look at the topics that they have outlined there. The United States Treasury manages the Social Security Trust Fund, which includes the Title II insurance program, officially known as Federal Old Age and Survivors Insurance Trust Fund, and Federal Disability Insurance Trust Fund. Now, this is a long way of saying Social Security for Retirement Age and Social Security Disability. Of key importance is recognizing that Title II programs are an insurance fund, meaning the participants paid into them with their own money in case needed because of a disability or at retirement. Therefore, the next time someone brings up getting something for nothing, ask them, do they believe this is when paying their money for premiums to any insurance company? The reasons for insurance are the same for most policyholders, whether for auto, health, disability, life, or retirement. The purpose of these policies is a safety net against unexpected circumstances. Or other instances when Wall Street or politicians bring up the topic of fraud. From my perspective, voter registration fraud and disability frauds are tactics used against people in our society who do not have the resources to defend themselves or protect benefits or settlements that they are due. If these people were as concerned with fraud in our society, from my perspective, they would take on Wall Street. Predatory harassment and intimidation of those sick, injured, or with disabilities should not be singled out in hopes of allowing Social Security funds for Wall Street investors to be used as they please. These resources are set up to protect the 99% in society with few protections today. Therefore, Congress should support insured civil rights legislation to reduce or eliminate bad faith insurance behavior from both public and private carriers. Paying into Social Security for the 99% may be one of the most important things one can do for their future. Did you know that baby boomers not only paid into Social Security for themselves, but also the generation before them? Few generations have given so much to this insurance fund. Has the fund become a hot topic because of the recession brought on by Wall Street? Once ignored and considered non-important, Now standing front and center, is the concern really about going bankrupt, or is this a tactic to change the way Social Security uses these resources? Is this a similar tactic as what has been done to the U.S. Postal Service? No other public or private entity has put as much money away for their pension plans. Would they ever ask Wall Street to put away enormous amounts of money which make their bottom lines show losses purposely? Personally, I think not. Therefore, critical thinking when evaluating or reviewing information is important in these circumstances to address how you might be impacted, but also the evaluation of rules or conversations of pros and cons from my perspective. In other words, questions must be asked beyond the first level. Be willing to dig a little deeper to ascertain what's behind the action, rule, or question. Okay, back to the United States Treasury, which is responsible for administering the Social Security funds under Title II, the Old Age Survivor and Disability Insurance, and also Title 16, the Supplemental Disability, which supports low-income applicants, which typically do not qualify again for Title II. However, there are a few exceptions to this. Under Internal Revenue Code authorization, the IRS is responsible for depositing taxes collected, i.e. premiums, into the Social Security funds. Notice those deductions from your paychecks throughout your work history for Social Security? This is how the transfer takes place. This also provides the tracking mechanisms often used to verify wages, taxes due, and the number of months worked and total income in order to assess whether qualifications are met in terms of how long worked and how much was put into Social Security for eligibility. Why is it important to know how eligibility is determined? Because in my opinion, not all local Social Security offices are created equal. And let's not forget personal interactions and conflicts which arise when dealing with personalities, cultural differences, and truly this list is endless as the complications with human interactions occur. As if this was not enough, what if you have a private company trying to get out of paying their fair share? What if they attempt to eliminate a Social Security disability approval in order to save themselves having to pay out short or long-term disability? Is denial in the best interest of public and private insurance companies? How many poor people and middle-class applicants have the resources to take on these giants? So what can these companies do? First, by denying claims. If they are all able to deny claims for individuals, then most people will go under within 6 months, frankly. Living paycheck to paycheck means mortgages go belly up, family needs end up being sacrificed in order to stay indoors. By the end of 6 months, these insurance companies know more sick, injured, or disabled people will have been totally annihilated. This may be a dog-eat-dog world in the insurance industry, whether public or private, but is this what policyholders are told? Are they told Social Security disability will be a safety net in case of disability? That auto insurance will come as a knight in shining armor when involved in a collision? Along with your medical insurance, will you get the health care needed when physical or mental injuries occur? How many people have been dropped from their insurance carrier in their most important time of need? How many auto insurance companies have failed their policyholders and taken them to court, which extended out to 10 years? This isn't what policyholders signed up for at all. Let's not even begin to talk about the surveillance any of these insurance companies will do to harass and intimidate sick, injured, or disabled to keep the money they promised for a rainy day for their customers, and all under the premise of fraud or anything else they can say to instill fear into the people who trusted and relied on their help. Frankly, in my opinion, it is time for a complete restructuring of the entire insurance industry, one which contains insurance civil rights legislation at a federal level. What state has enough resources to keep these multi-billion-dollar companies in check? or have too few lobbyists to stop bad behavior tactics against policyholders. Have you gotten a letter from the IRS to support the efforts of these public or private insurance companies to deny a claim? Unfortunately, it's the 1%, not the 99%, where income is a factor. Yet the public or private companies, in my opinion, initiate IRS investigations towards these 99% in an effort to eliminate their own claims opened by policyholders. Are you getting a sense that more goes on in the processing of a claim of public or private companies? So who is involved in this process? Many different corporations play a role in the lives of those seeking only what they have been promised. The Commissioner of Social Security Disability, who, by the way, is the one who makes a decision about escalated cases if not done at the hands of local Social Security office personnel. Supposedly, it's not the same person who made the initial decision, and commissioners have the right not to share information regarding your case, even if it ends up in court. I wonder if this is for their benefit or the injured person's. So we have the Secretary of the Treasury, the Social Security Commissioner, a Board of Trustees, Secretary of Labor, and Secretary of Human and Health Services. Think all the bases are covered with this group? And of course, private corporations are tied into each of these government agencies. How is the sick, injured, or disabled tied in? Only through their need for help. And of course, their premiums. Wherever does the power lie? Would Wall Street have to wait 3 years for help? I suspect not. They don't wait more than 30 days on most occasions. Frankly, the greater distance government programs are from Wall Street, in my opinion, the better. Because the 99% on Main Street tend to face more difficulties whenever Wall Street has something to gain. Congress is also in this mix. In fact, once or twice a year, they receive updates on Social Security fund activity. Congress could initiate insured civil rights legislation that would protect sick, injured, or disabled for those on Social Security disability, but also modifications to the ERISA, which allow private corporations not to pay their fair share to employees who have paid into their insurance plans. Wouldn't you think this group of people are able to recognize the needs for protection? They know most of their customers only receive income from them and live in poverty. Wouldn't you think it would be in their best interest to help their insureds move from poverty to a decent standard of living, especially after paying premiums to employers, auto or long-term disability insurance companies? How long will they remain silent about the plight of the poor and middle class? Paying into Social Security may be the most important thing you can do for a safety net for most middle-class people. By them being a government agency, at least there are rules in place where there's a chance for receiving a fair shake in the process. Yet, in my opinion, when they work on behalf of Wall Street, the balance of the equation is skewed in favor of these corporations. When you add law enforcement and state attorney generals working with public or private insurance company, along with surveillance against sick and injured, it really puts the Main Street at a disadvantage. Will Social Security allow these companies to hide behind them? Will they jump on the bandwagon against the 99% that now Congress is interested in privatizing Social Security for Wall Street? Will they disregard legitimate claims in order to reduce the number of baby boomers who pay twice as much as any other generation? One could ask, where has the money gone? And what can you do to stand up for yourself if you find yourself on the wrong side of this equation? There are many checks and balances in the process of managing both Social Security funds. Pay attention to Congress's willingness to allow Wall Street to gain access. Be watchful also of Congress' willingness to protect the insureds, meaning policyholders in both public or private insurance plans. Social Security states, quote, Social Security pays disability benefits to you and certain members of your family if you have worked long enough and have medical condition that has prevented you from working or is expected to prevent you from working for at least 12 months or ends in death. And that's end quote. Perhaps the new online Social Security Administration website will create a standard which may help sync the actions and behaviors of local offices. The good news is now individuals can go online and find out the facts for themselves. This will also eliminate some of the confusion of the past, meaning all answers were not necessarily the same. Has it been a communication problem? Cultural issues not addressed? Or perhaps talking with people who are injured may not always be the best time to have that conversation. Yet legal counsel does not always operate in the best interest of a person applying for Social Security benefits. Let's hope this new option will open up a new level of communication which shares in the ways in which these insurance funds can be improved to help those relying on their support. Frankly, perceptions of disabled need to change. Just as with people of color, Ferguson is an excellent example of bringing out issues that have been laid just beneath the surface for generations throughout the United States, but is coming to the forefront with the death of Trayvon Martin. It is my hope that this will also be the case for people injured in car accidents dealing with both public and private insurance companies. In my opinion, this is also a group of people who need insured civil rights protections in order to get fair treatment and fair benefits from all insurance carriers. So let me just take a moment to summarize. The Social Security Commissioner is the head of the agency, and the U.S. Treasury Internal Revenue Service are the ones who collect and distribute from the general fund to Social Security on a regular basis. There's a group of departments who work together to assess the direction of Social Security. I want to make sure that you hear that this is an insurance fund which you paid into on every paycheck. The group who works together includes the Secretary of Treasury, the Social Security Commissioner, the Board of Trustees, Secretary of Labor, Secretary of Health and Human Services, and Congress. In my opinion, this group is heavily influenced by private insurance companies who have the money to lose when policyholders are approved because their liability is also apparent whether they pay out the claims or not. Applications can also for Social Security take up to 3 years for approval or denial. There are more options available today than before. You can apply online at the Social Security website. You can hire an attorney, or you can fill out the paperwork on your own from a local Social Security office. The framework must be viewed not only from a standard procedure perspective, but outside influences that may impact your claim. And we'll get to this in more depth in the next section. Be aware that there may be people who may not be operating in your best of interest, and educating yourself about the rules for applying for Social Security and the impact of employer benefits and auto insurance is important. This Social Security Disability Series will include the experiences of the Social Security process, the impact of Wall Street seeking access to funds, and the impact of SSDI recipients. In other words, the SSDI is just short for Social Security Disability Income. We'll talk about more on the Title II Primary Retirement and Disability Insurance, and also how SSDI and ERISA, which is the employer benefits, work together. We'll also mention about Medicare, Obamacare, and COBRA, and also how SSDI, surveillance, law enforcement, and attorney generals work together. We'll mention about SSDI and poverty, disability, and rebuilding a new life and freeing yourself from constraints. Improvements seen over the years in SSDI and where to go from here will also be talked about. What you need to know about applying for SSDI and what to expect after being approved. So as you can see, these are quite a few topics to discover, and it seems like it's going to be a very short time, unless I actually took another month to really go into the detail that I want. This will be enough information that will help you to see what's really going on. It'll also give you links to where you can look up some of this information on your own. And we can also have more and more discussions, and we can all grow from learning, not only from my experience, but from the millions of you out there who've also gone through this process. Always remember, there are hundreds of Astro Brand car accident information and support tools at your disposal, and many of them are free to use. You can select Astro's car accident playlist out on YouTube, and it contains 11 free videos which discusses many of the trials and tribulations encountered after a car accident. It also talks about unfair practices of major corporations and how it can make it difficult for policyholders to access legitimate claims. Also out there, we have the 215 car accident daily calendar, which is available for support and encouragement. It's a great gift, especially at Valentine's Day, for you or somebody who's been injured. Maybe add a little flowers to it. There's 215 car accident weekly planner, and that's any time in 215 where you actually get in an accident. You can pick up a copy of the calendar and begin to document your situation in an organized, easy manner. Each and every program, I really want you to know, outcomes do depend on knowledge. If you find yourself dealing with a car accident concern, know that there are many, many topics available. In fact, out on iTunes under Talking About You with Estra, and also at Blog Talk Radio, you'll find 100+ episodes that can help you while getting through the process. If you have experienced a claim with Social Security disability, and you want to share your experiences, make sure to go out on Twitter, hashtag Estra's Radio Show, and share your experiences. One of the things I hope you'll keep in mind is the car accident anthem, quote, "I can get through this. I support insured civil rights. I am up for the battle. I will use what I've learned. I appreciate my gifts. I will take care of me. Car accidents are surprising. Good seasons will come again." Thank you for joining me today. Next week, we'll continue our series on Social Security disability. Drop me a line. Let me know how things are going for you. And don't hesitate to visit any of my sites. Thank you for listening today, because it's only with your continued knowledge about the insurance industry, self-insured employers, long-term disability, and SSDI, can we make a difference in creating an insured civil rights law and legislation which can make things more fair and equitable for policyholders, both public and private. I also want to thank Audacity, InternetArchives.org, and Song Midnight Run by OK. No matter what you're going through this week, remember, keep your head up and never give up.